Let's read the scripture portion taken from John's Gospel, chapter 12. John 12, we shall read from verse 37 to verse 50. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, through Thy only begotten Son and our Savior, we draw near to Thy throne of grace this Lord's Day during this worship service. Thou art worthy of all worship, and our hearts yield in faith and submission. For Thou art a merciful God, a loving God, and also an awesome God who comes in power to judge the world. O, give unto us the grace to believe in You. If there is someone here today who is not yet a believer, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, O, we pray that You will magnify Thyself as his or her Redeemer this day. May every heart see that Thou art a great Savior who paid the price of our redemption by shedding His blood on the cross for the remission of our sins. O Lord, in death You loved us. In Your resurrection You loved us, that we may have power to walk in newness of life. You ascended and still love us continually, for we know from Thy word that You intercede for us, praying that we may not wander away in our sins and perish. O Lord Jesus, how we love Thee, for You have loved us so greatly. As the scripture says, You love us to the end. We thank You for Your many blessings in our lives. This is not our home. This world is under the prince of this world, which is the devil. You often work against us. He's never happy that any one of us would bear your name and serve thee. He is an accuser of the brethren. He rages war against our souls. His fiery darts are always coming our way. But thou art the Lord of hosts, the captain of our souls, who have given us the armor of God to put on and to fight a good fight of faith. And we thank you for this challenge we have. Thank you for the grace that never let us go, but constantly urges to rise up in faith and fight a good fight as good soldiers. O Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with temptations, the lust of the flesh, the temptations of the world, and the lure of material world. May you have mercy to let them see the glory of Christ more than the perishing, vanishing, glittering things of this world. Help us to love thy word that never perishes and follow after those things. We pray for our teenagers and young ones, youthful ones. O Lord, that they will be victorious in Christ, that by faith they will take Jesus and follow him and not the world. Teach us all not to conform to the fashion of this world, but renewing our mind, constantly yielding ourselves to the Lord. Oh, protect our children, all of them, from being taken away. Oh, Lord, we also pray, young children. We pray for babies in the arms of our mothers. We pray for the toddlers who are learning to read and grow with time. We pray for the children as our Sunday school teachers, as those who are ministering to the children, look after them. May the Spirit of God work in the hearts of our young children, that, O Lord, you are who art able to bring praise out of children will be magnified in their hearts too. We pray for the older folks in our midst who are troubled by many infirmities of our weakening bodies. Lord, may you increase the faith and hope in them. Let them draw closer and closer to thee. Let the joy of the Lord fill their hearts as well, we pray. Let not the pain and troubles of this world ever distract them, but their hearts may be full of thy beauty, thy glory. We pray for mothers, for fathers. Lord, may you help them to provide for the families. Thank you that you have never abandoned us. Thank you for the strength and ability you have given to us. But above all, we pray they will be exemplary at home for the children to follow after them. May you bless everyone who came this morning to worship you. We pray for those who are sick and resting at home. Lord, have mercy upon them. May thy healing hand be placed that upon each and every one of them, that they may see that the Lord is good. He restoreth our souls. He restoreth our bodies, that we may come back again to worship you in the house of the Lord. At this time, we once again give you thanks for bringing back Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh and the team of members of this church and friends who have gone to the Holy Land. Thank you for the safe arrival. We rejoice once again in your goodness toward us, in all our traveling, in our going out and coming in. You have kept thy promises. You watch over us. You blessed us. Thank you, Lord. Please accept our thanksgiving. We also now pray for Far Eastern Bible College, which thou hast raised through thy servant, pastor of this church. We pray that you will sustain this college for your glory. We thank you that it has always stood up for the truth, to preach the sound doctrines, to impart the sound doctrines to faithful men. O Lord, we pray young men and women who are trained this college will not fail in the call of the duties. They will not look for man's praise, but they will look to the honor that comes from God alone. O, may our spiritual eyes be opened, we pray. lest we may abandon the great cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we see thy glory, not the things of this world, not the hatred of this world, not the betrayals of friends who claim to be believers and that would not take a stand for thee. Lord, lead us on. Thou art our King, to whom we submit our worship, all our thanksgiving. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy to receive our praise and honor. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to pray as we now rise up from our prayers to hear your voice. Come and refresh our spirits, we pray. Let all the hearts that gathered here this morning hear thy voice, that they may be strengthened. O Lord, have mercy upon all of us, that we may go back from here to encourage those who are resting at homes. We even remember Elder Mahadevan at this time. Lord, have mercy upon him. We pray for his dear wife, that she will be strengthened by thy grace to look after thy servant. There are many in our minds. We submit them all to you. For your glory, we ask that you will work for us. We pray all these in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now turn our attention to the passage we read from John's Gospel, chapter 12. Though our Lord Jesus has done an immense number of miracles for all the people to see, they rejected his deity. They chose not to believe on him. And this is clearly recorded in the first verse we read, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. There you have the first response of the crowd that followed Christ. And in this passage, John chose to tell us the unbelief of the many who followed Christ. You see, normally when we ask someone, what's your opinion about that preacher or that pastor or that missionary? Well, we will keep in the heart and we probably would not immediately agree with that person. But let's say as we go about, 10 people tell us the same report or comment, we tend to slant toward that. And then we move on and we hear another 10 response. And if all of them are negative, we immediately yield our minds to think the same way. There must be some truth because so many people have told me the same thing. There must be something wrong with this preacher. Otherwise, how can so many would say, maybe I will give another try. Let me talk to a few more people. And here you listen to another 10. Well, that's enough for me. I hope you and I will not give our ears to what people say to determine whether a thing is true or not. Because if you were to go by what John records here, we are clearly told majority of those who surrounded Christ during his earthly ministry rejected him. Very clearly, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Unbelief. As a preacher, my greatest desire is that everyone who listens to me would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night we had a gospel rally in our church, a Mandarin gospel rally. So the Chinese preacher, Brother Daniel Lim, preached. And about 15 of them came, unbelievers. Now it is very hard to get people to come to church to hear the gospel. I thank God for 15 who came. And my prayer was that everyone would believe I know a couple of them believed, but I'm not sure about the rest. Majority of them seem to have rejected politely. They didn't stand up halfway through the gospel rally and walk out. All of them sat throughout the sermon. And they also stood up for the last hymn. They also respectfully stood there when we prayed. Then they joined us for the refreshment. But they politely declined from believing. But it makes no difference. It's unbelief. Thousands gathered around Christ. They invited the neighbors to get along with them and hear the Lord Jesus. Maybe, my friend, you are here this morning because your friend invited you to come. Well, we are glad you came. But we want this to be very clear to all of you. Unless you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to deliver us from our sins, we have no hope, because we are all sinners and doomed before God. He is a mighty, holy God who will judge the world. And let me also tell you, here John recorded God's prophetical words through Isaiah the prophet. If you decide to harden your heart today, John wants you to know, of course, through the illumination and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you may not have another chance. For 3 years, those people around Christ heard Christ and they did not believe. Well, this is what John wants us to know. Please look at verse 38. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which is spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom had the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, and they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. You know, these are words that the Lord has already predicted, even before the Lord Jesus was born into this world, through his prophet Isaiah. And these words are about those who would reject Christ. Firstly, he cited Isaiah 53:1, which says, according to John's record here in verse 38, Lord, who had believed our report? You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a myth. It's an accurate report of what God has done for sinners. It's not a mythical story. The Bible, the Word of God, is called the testimony of the Lord. You know what testimony means? Report. Accurate record. Now, who in the world knows how did the world come about? The scientists are guessing. They are saying it's through millions of years of evolutionary process. But they were not there. They are trying to think back. Now, it's quite amazing they can claim they know for sure what happened millions of years ago. But the Bible says it's not true. The earth is not millions of years old. According to the biblical record, it's just a few thousand years old. Maximum, we would say 10,000. Now, the Bible says God created all things. When you go to school, or when you read some science magazines, they have all these so-called fictions, which they say is a theory, not proven beyond doubt, that the world is evolved. But the Bible says it's created. And you and I must believe it, because it is God's testimony. Now, the gospel record of Jesus' birth is marvelous miracles. his compassionate deeds in healing the sick and helping the poor and comforting those who are weary, and then finally turning the sinners to heaven by his death and resurrection. All these are records, reports, true reports. The Savior came. And if you don't believe, well then listen what God has to say. Who had believed our report? And to whom had the arm of the Lord been revealed? The word arm of the Lord is a reference to the works of the Lord. All that Jesus did, thousands of miracles. John says they cannot be even recorded in a book. There are so many. Now, all those stupendous miracles of the Lord were rejected by the people. Oh, this is already predicted. When Isaiah talked about Jesus Christ in a predictive manner, in all his messianic passages, we do see clearly that in his first coming, the Lord will be rejected. The power of God manifested through his work will not be heeded. If you read the Gospel of John carefully, John said, if you don't believe what I say, why don't you believe my Father's testimony? John himself records the voice of the Lord of the Father from heaven while Jesus was baptized. They didn't believe that. Then Jesus said, then why don't you believe what I have done? My works testify of me. They rejected that too. They rejected John the Baptizer's voice. They rejected the prophecies of the Scripture. They rejected Jesus' voice. They rejected his works. They rejected the voice from heaven, the Father's voice. What more you want to believe in me? Oh, the Lord says, about you it is already written in the Scriptures. And the Lord has this to say, and this is quite frightening. But it is good that we read it. Because if you think you can keep on reject the Lord, and one day hopefully the Lord will take you to heaven, well, you may be very wrong. Look at verse 40. This is a quotation from Isaiah's book. And Isaiah 6:10. And this is quoted many times in the New Testament, such as in Mark 4:12 and Acts 28, to tell how God judicially hardened those who reject the gospel when it's preached to them. This is called judicial hardening. Let me read to you once again. He hath blinded their eyes, verse 40. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Oh, this is what theologians call judicial hardening. The Lord himself shuts your door, even though you hear the voice of the Lord, the preaching of the gospel. You have learned to reject it, and the Lord says, then let it be shut once and for all. Oh, sinner, if you reject the gospel of Christ, let me tell you, there is no other story that can open your heart unto the Lord's salvation. If you harden your heart and despise the great story of the Savior who died for you on the cross, then there is no salvation for you. Today is the day of salvation. If you would reject, then it is possible that he may work his judicial hardening of your heart. You know, some people don't believe in judicial hardening. They say, oh, how can you preach that God would harden our hearts? Well, I want to bring to you two reasons why I believe God would do judicial hardening to those who reject him time after time. First of all, this is written in the Scriptures, that he will harden our hearts if you reject him. That's definitely the case. Secondly, God never said He will harden your heart. And because He had no mercy. He hardens the heart of those who do not love Him, who are already fallen and rebelled against God. God's sovereignty is not a capricious manipulation, cursing those who are morally innocent. God is not saying, oh, you are so good, but I don't like you. No, we are already fallen creatures. So what we should do is, when the gospel call comes to us, that's God's gracious call. Instead of saying, oh, I would like to test you further, we must see our sinfulness and humble ourselves quickly. Otherwise, He has the right to harden our hearts because we are already fallen in our sin. We've got no right to talk back or reject Him. We are in need of mercy. Think about your own life. See how many sins you have committed already. What right do you have to say to God, I couldn't be bothered about what you want to do in your grace? If you say to Him, it's a terrible rejection of a gracious God. And He has every right to harden your heart right there. God's sovereignty is never displayed against human responsibility. It's a mystery that man cannot fully help. Cannot fully explain. And I can't probably help you to understand all the intricacies of God's sovereign actions. Nonetheless, my friends, nowhere the Bible says, because God sovereignly acts, you can go on rejecting Christ. No. The Lord graciously calls you today. If you have postponed believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, today, may this message awaken you. Unbelief probably would be the more common response to Christ in this world. But that is going to be your judgment if you do so. The Lord came that some may believe on Him. May it be your day of salvation. May this day, this Lord's day, be your day of salvation from all your sins and the sure judgment that is about to come. Believe on Him, please. Believe on Him. In verse 41, John adds one more thing that Isaiah said in the light of the unbelief of the people. He said, these things said Isaiah when he saw His glory and spake of Him. You know, Isaiah didn't prophesy this to say that, oh, because majority of the people would reject Him, the Lord is not glorious. Well, poor thing, He won't have the glory. No. Look, John is saying to us, when we see people hardening our hearts, we know it was already prophesied, and the Lord is doing what He predicted or prophesied. He's a glorious God. We are living in a time of great unbelief. Great unbelief. It's not only out in the world, even within the churches, we see unbelief growing. A lot of people go to church because it's fashionable. Friends are there. There are fun stuff in modern churches. Entertainment, nice music, beautiful dance, choreographed programs. And it's fun to be there. You get entertained free of charge for two hours. And nowadays, some pastors will show you some magic tricks as well. So it's not bad, you know. You get easily entertained. It's fun to be in church with the family. So a lot of people go to church. But they don't yield their heart to the Lord Jesus. When we see this, oh, we better remember that God is going to be magnified. And I'm going to read one verse to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Paul's prediction of the things to come in the last days. Listen very carefully. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. God will send a great delusion, so people, even those who go to church, would believe a lie. Judicial hardening is coming. The time, the dispensation of God's gracious call is coming to an end. Soon He will return to judge the world. And one of the signs of His soon return to judge the world is the increasing unbelief, increasing delusion in the minds of the people. I want to speak a word to those who believe the Lord Jesus. You may see increasing unbelief, increasing unbelief and delusion. And you may feel very sad for all these people and why these people are confused and troubled. May the Lord Jesus be glorified in your heart at this time. For He is coming soon. He is the great God. Nothing happens outside His decrees and His plans. All these things are written. John looks at thousands of people who rejected Him. There are thousands who believed, yes. But it's a sad thing for an evangelist like John to look at these people and rejecting. And yet he says, I see the glory of the Lord. Man's rejection do not take away the glory of the Lord. No matter what people would say of the Lord and His truth and His word, God's glory shall outshine all unbelief in the hearts of all those who believe in Him. So that's the first response. Now let's look at the second response of some people, which are recorded in verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here John says, well, he has looked around to see who would believe. He wanted to see people who believe. And he recognized that some among the Jewish leaders, chief rulers, believed in Christ. But there was a problem. Though they believed that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, they did not want to publicly talk about Christ. They would refrain and withdraw themselves from the company of God's people. Why? Because they were afraid they would be rejected by men of power and prominence in the society. They loved the world. They loved the popularity and acceptance of powerful men more than the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew He is the Savior. They even exercised the faith, but you see, they could not live a glorious life that God has cut out for every believing heart. Now, some of you here may be in this category. You may be wondering, why is that, you know, I'm not living a full, victorious, and useful, blessed life. Why is that my Christian life is so plagued with temptations and sins and setbacks and sad achievements? In fact, no achievements. I've been like a Christian, you know, for so long. What's happening to me? The Lord's word to you, you prefer the world more than me. You love the praise of men more than me. You love the company of the ungodly ones more than me. How can we say we love the Lord and then linger in the world where Christ is not praised? Come out, my friends. That's why our churches believe in doctrine of separation. Come out of unbelief. Well, this church is an example of coming out of those who cannot fully believe that God has preserved every word. We did the right thing. Otherwise, the Lord would say, you also want praise. So you stuck with those who don't want to believe that I will keep every word that I have uttered. We may be small, but we have the Lord who said those words which we don't doubt. Every jot and every tittle is preserved. We don't doubt it. We believe He is the Savior. He is the God who gave us the truth, and He will keep them all to the end. That's a great privilege. And this is the imperfect faith, immature faith, which cannot shine for the Lord, which often suffers weakness, frailties, sad failures. But let's be in the third group of people who are mentioned in the rest of the verses. Let's visit them now. Please look at verse 44 to 50. This should be the kind of response we all should have in our hearts. Let's pray for it. Now, I would subdivide that section. Firstly, let me just tell you, this passage tells us what is genuine faith in Christ and what involves genuine faith. Okay, let's read verse 44. There you have the first ingredient of genuine faith that the Lord blesses and uses. What is that? Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you never have him alone. You have him as the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You believe on him, you have the presence and the blessings of God Almighty. How wonderful it is to be blessed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Child of God. Blessed by His presence, His power, His truth. So everyone who has a genuine faith, accept that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, is the Son, and without Him we cannot have God. And as soon as you believe in Jesus, you believe also the Father and the Spirit. And in the triune God, we find our faith anchored without wavering. Secondly, about the genuine faith, we read in verse 45 to 46 that it will be anchored in the true knowledge of God. Let's see what it means. Verses 45 and 46. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Here John says something that he has been saying in his gospel many times. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You want to know God? Then you must look at Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of God. Came down to this world. Our incarnated Lord Jesus, who took the human flesh, was full of God's glory. All His works, all His gracious words, read them all. Please, take the Bible in your hands, go back home and read all that Jesus has said and done while He was on earth. And read other things as well that He is still doing and He is going to do for you. Can you read of those things and think that He is just a man like you? He is not. All His power, the wisdom, the graciousness, the compassion is unequal. They are supreme, divine. In Jesus you see God in all His glory. Or even if you look to the cross and say, how can God die? But look at the cross again. Is it not the glory of God? His love? Why did Jesus die? Because He loved us with an eternal love. He loved enemies, such as you and me, who were lost in sin. The Holy God stooped down to save us. Think about why He died again. It was because of God's justice. God's holiness must punish sinners. So when Jesus died, you see God's justice manifested on the cross. Our sins were laid on Him. And our punishments were also on Him. So He died for us. There is God's love. There is God's holiness. There is God's justice. There is God's forgiveness, because He cried out, forgive them. There you have God in all His wisdom. You know, the devil and the company thought, if we can put Jesus on the cross, God's plan will be thwarted. So they gladly put Him on the cross, but they were not omniscient beings. They didn't know what they were actually playing into God's plan for our salvation. God's wisdom surpassed them. What the devil and the world thought is the end of the Son of God work out to be the fulfillment of all that He wanted, which is your salvation and my salvation. On the cross you see the fullness of God manifested. His love, His justice, His holiness, His forgiveness, His wisdom, and all His great attributes. You see Jesus, you see God. The more you love Him, the more you have God and His blessings in your life. And Jesus says it very clearly. Verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. How wonderful to live as a Christian. Everything is so plain and clear to us. I don't know whether you have come to realize that. Sometimes things look very confusing, I agree, humanly speaking. But God never withholds His light from shining upon His people. Humanly speaking, we don't know what way to turn to, how to solve our problems, where to go. But the Lord will be always there, casting the light of His truth and presence before us. We are not caught in the darkness of this world. If you are a Christian who walk with the Lord and obey His commandments, you've got no doubt about life. You know who should be your life partner and who should not be. There's no confusion about it. The Lord has spoken. If somebody lure you, an unbeliever comes to take your heart away, you know the light shines immediately and you respond. And you want to choose a job, the Lord says, look at the requirements. Do you have to forsake the Sabbath day? Or do you have to do something that is illegal or unrighteous? Will you have enough time to look after your family? Look into all these things. Let the light of God control and guide you. Things become clear and apparent. Then you say, oh, Both job offers are good. Nothing causes me to dishonor the Lord. But you know, I got a problem. One offers me 2,005. The other offers me 5,000. Which one I should take? Where the light of the Lord shines, promotion cometh from the Lord. Take the 5,000 one. I think you are very happy I said that. There's nothing wrong about it. The Lord always guides us. He never leaves us in confusion. He's not a God of darkness. He's a God of truth and light. You believe and walk in His light, life path will be clearer. Now look at a third aspect of genuine faith. Verse 47 to 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that reject me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, those who truly believe in Jesus will also believe in every word that he has uttered. You know, the Lord said, if you think I'm going to judge you right away, you are wrong. Remember the first part of this message? Many did not believe. But Jesus did not say, since you don't believe, go to hell now. No, he didn't say that. He held back. And he said, the time is coming when the same words that I uttered will judge you. You know, when God comes again to judge us, he will not have a different standard. It will be the same as we have in our hands. According to the truth that he has placed in our hands, he will judge you. That's one reason why we believe in the preservation of all the words of the scripture. Every word that he has uttered and written will be preserved to examine our life and to judge it. You reject this, you're asking for big trouble. Listen to me, I'm going to read again what Jesus said. He that rejecteth me and receive not my words, like Reverend Thor always stresses, words in plural. It's not that some words are not important. All of my words, if you don't receive them, Jesus says, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, I find this verse very, very interesting. Because he says, if you reject my words in the beginning, then he says at the end of verse 48, the word I have spoken, the same shall judge him. How come there's a change from the plural to the singular? If you don't receive my words, the word will judge. Because when you reject some of the words, the whole word doesn't stand together. You know, you cannot say, oh, I only reject few words. You know what will happen? The whole of the scripture will turn against you. Because changing a bit here will affect the rest of the truth. They stand united. You can't meddle with it. If you say, oh, it's just a few words, that's all I think I have to change. Or I should doubt. You can't just pluck few words out of God's word and hope that that should be okay. The weight of the whole scripture will come on you. It's clear. Thank God for a pastor which you have. Thank God for every pastor who take God's word seriously and do not deceive you by saying it's okay if you don't believe some words. I hope you're thankful. I hope you will take these words of Christ more than your pastor, the words of Christ which he always says, seriously. When you leave this place, you know, please do not think because you came to True Life BP Church everything is going to be okay. No. You are answerable to your God. These words, every one of them, are to be your guide, your light, the rest of your life. If you despise them in any way, the weight of the word is against us. All that I can say is, let's pray that God be merciful not to punish us for our unbelief and disregard for the truth. May God have mercy, because many of us, though we believe, have taken God's word lightly, isn't it? We conveniently ignored them. Let's cry out to the Lord, for he is a gracious God, ready to forgive. Pray to him in your heart. Finally, one more aspect about this genuine faith, which is in verses 49 and 50. He says, if you truly believe in Jesus' word, take it as the life-giving word. Believe in Jesus' words, not only as a word that will judge you, but also the word that will give you life if you trust it. Let's take a look. Verse 49 and verse 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus said, you know, I have not uttered a word that my Father has not asked me to speak. All the words that I spoke are the words of my Father. I gave them all to you. I did not hold them back. Whenever the Father wanted me to speak, I spoke them all. Now your duty is to embrace them by faith as life. Is God's word dear to you more than your life on earth? You should say, I don't want a life other than the life that this word gives to me. If somebody says, if you obey this word, I would kill you. I rather would die for this, because this is what gives me life eternal. If I believe and die for this, listen to me again. If I believe the truth of God's will and die for it, it's worth dying, because the death that I would receive cannot keep me in the grave. Jesus said, it will come with a shout, and the dead in the grave shall hear His voice. You and I must be saying, I hear my Lord's voice in His word today. No matter what come my way, because I love Him and believe every word, I would have them all. Let it be persecution. Let it be poverty. Let it be nakedness. Let it be rejection by all men. I would have them all in my life. For this gives me life. Life eternal. If you believe, you can go home knowing that you shall live with the Lord now and forever. This is life. Life beyond death. Life beyond grave. Life with God now and forever. Remember, my friends, there were three responses in this passage. One is unbelief. If you would reject God, it could end up as judicial hardening, from which you can never escape. So may I urge you once again, today is the day of salvation. Secondly, it's the imperfect faith of some who believed. They lingered in the world, desiring their acceptance. Why should we waste our time in the world? Come away from the world. Serve Him. It's glory. Glory beyond the things of this world for eternity to come. Won't you desire that? He came to give you heaven. He brings heaven to our hearts. We don't have to walk in the burdens of the world. We can rise above in faith in Christ, knowing that we are walking step by step to the home that He prepared for us. So believe genuinely. Believe in Christ. Believe in the Father who is your Father, for you love the Son. Believe in every word, for it is judgment for those who don't believe, and it is life to all those who believe. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that You will give us the faith that You desire in our hearts. If we lack in faith, increase our faith. Sorry, Lord, we have doubted You at times for our own struggles and pain. We admit many things that we suffer due to our wrong choices are things that we rightfully deserve, and that You did not allow us to perish, given us another chance to repent and turn to You as our life-giving Savior. We come this morning worshiping You by repenting and believing in You again. Keep us closer to You. hold our hands and cause us to walk side by side with you, that we may never wander away from you, not according to the voice of the world, but according to the words of God written in the Holy Scriptures. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.